Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Test 1, 2.
That's
not annoying.
Come along now. Take a ride with the BET.
Did you? Wait.
You didn't do it again.
Yeah, I did.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Come along now. Take a ride with the BET. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B-Team.
Yeah.
The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team, baby.
Yeah, it is. The B-Team. Omar.
Yeah.
Lightning. Dave the King of Mexico.
Hi, guys.
What's up? We're here to shed some light on the Kevin and Bean Show, the ins and outs, the behind the scenes, pulling back the curtain, doing what we do.
It really doing what we do?
I don't know. I just made that up, just riffing. I'm not good at this, let's be honest.
We do stuff, so yeah, we do.
I'm excited about today's show, gentlemen.
Me too.
Can I tell you why?
Been waiting all week for this.
The Bleeda in Reseda. This is a phrase that has been thrown around for a long, long time. People said, oh, the Bleeding Reseda. But I don't think the average audience member out there has any idea what we're really talking about. They go, well, the Bleeding Reseda is somehow tied in with Jimmy and Adam, Mr. Burcham. He was a boxing. Wait, what happened exactly? So we're going to get to that on today's show. But first, we have some email.
Okay. I wish I had that queued up.
That's all right.
I thought this was a special Bleed and Reseda episode. So.
Well, no, we got some email first.
Okay, my bad. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Hit right now.
Ooh, baby, we're going to check the
sorry, guys.
baby, we're not talking fart box. Baby, we're not talking cat's box. Baby, we're going to check the inbox.
I like to start the show with inbox because it kind of gets the juices flowing for us, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's get going. Right.
In my pants.
This comes from Luis. Lifelong fan of the show. Your B-Team podcasts are amazing. The audio commentary is like that of a DVD you love. My job is to fly and secure aircraft all over Africa, and I've listened to Kevin and Bean and your podcast everywhere from Somalia to Chad. Please don't ever stop. Also, as a Long Beach native, I love your shirts. Hey, thanks, dude. That is from Luis, listening all over the world, securing jets. This is coming from Rose.
What does that mean, securing jets?
I don't know if he's like one of those, what do you call him, the air marshal? Or I don't, securing jets. I mean, I don't know.
He's a Somali pirate who's taking him over.
So he's with, like, all right, here's his signature on the email.
Stealing airplanes.
Flyaway security program manager. And I don't want to read more of this because this looks like military. It is. US.AF.mil. Ooh, Air Force.
He takes over airplanes.
That is cool. From Rose, where did Bean's nickname come from? When did he switch to Gene, or has he always been Bean since he was a little kid? And as far as Bean knows, he's been Bean. He's been Gene Bean Baxter since he was a child because he was always really tall.
Yeah.
So it's the Bean Pole reference.
So he was a spring bean? I think that's where it came from.
I don't know if he was ever string bean.
Yeah.
I think it was just bean, like a bean pole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Ashley says, question, how do they get that drop that goes, F Kevin and Bean, F, I've been saying it my whole life, and I'll be saying it till I die. F, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
she says, today I heard it on Monday's podcast with hippies in the blank.
That guy's the best.
If I correctly recall, they can put several words into the blank. How do they do that? Omar, how do you do that?
All right, hold on.
Let Dave. Here's I'm
story.
Looking for the audio right now.
Once Kevin, Mike Catherwood, and I went to a Slayer show, Slayer and Marilyn Manson.
Hey, Dick, I was there.
And Lightning, because Lightning drove us.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, because that's right. I don't remember much of the night. But that's where we did Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Oh, there's a guy in the wheelchair.
And then we ran into Yassir, who was in a wheelchair. And he started with...
I don't know what Dave's talking about, but he's got the story all wrong.
No, it's actually
I think you're thinking of the wrong drop.
You're thinking of the wrong drop.
I think you're thinking of the wrong drop, Dave.
Lisa May. Period.
We're talking
about Lisa May. This I've been talking about my life. I'll be saying
we're
it
talking
till
about
the day
this
I
guy.
Die. F- Lisa May. F- Dave, the King of Mexico. Period.
This is what we're talking
I'm
about.
Completely wrong. Yeah,
you're totally wrong.
I'm totally wrong.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dave, the King of.
So Mike Catherwood was our man on the street back in the day for a couple of years.
So Omar, before you play that audio again, what Dave is talking about is yes here, and that guy's like, F you, F the world,
yeah. Mom, die, die, die.
F your mom, yeah. Die, 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 F the world, die, die, yeah. Die. Yeah, so that's Yassir in the wheelchair, which is different than what this listener is asking about. So,
right, this guy is talking about this.
Lisa May, period. Lisa May. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Lisa May.
So this guy was in Pasadena somewhere. Mike Catherwood used to be our man on the street with a microphone. Whenever Kevin and Bean had any kind of like what you did with Lightning Strikes,
okay.
He used to do with different topics. So the original one was hippies. It was some sort of random topic about hippies.
Oh
so
God.
There was a full-on interview with this guy, but Kevin Bean isolated that F hippies part, and they fell in love with the guy, okay? So after the fact, Kevin told Mike, hey, go find this guy again and record a bunch of different ones. So not only do we have F hippies, but we got all these.
Dave, the King of Mexico, period. Dave, I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Dave, the King of Mexico. Psycho Mike, period. Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Psycho Mike.
So it's not like it's a computer-generated program
no,
or anything.
Like, yeah.
It's actually Mike going with a list of names or whatever that Kevin Bean wanted. Hey, have this guy say F this or F that.
Ralph. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Ralph.
That's some good organic audio you guys got
Omar
on the street.
Omar's dumb f***ing haircut, period. Omar, I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. F*** Omar.
What was your dumb haircut?
I have no idea.
Monogamy, period. F*** monogamy. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. F*** monogamy.
And his delivery is the same all the way through.
It's pretty monotone,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see how somebody could think that we just dropped out a word and put in a new word. But no, that's a real guy that Mike found. This is probably...
So Mike spent like a half an hour with the guy,
yeah,
just getting everything he could think of.
But what luck being able to find him again. Do you know what I mean? I think like Mike maybe like took him out for dinner or whatever. And that's what? You know, kind of like, you know, was his compensation for doing that for us.
That is funny.
Yeah.
This is from Kate. Our main request, I want to hear about the behind the scenes on the 2-week challenge where people were staying in a brand new Beetle. At Universal Amphitheater, and it ended with Rock, Paper, Scissors. That was Living It and Win It, and that audio is coming up on a future podcast
awesome.
Here at the B-Team.
Yeah, I remember listening to that.
Yeah, that was before our time
and
working
there. And it was so cool because... I don't know, but you could like smell the stank coming off of the radio because these people were in there for a couple of weeks, if not a month.
The Volkswagen Beetle was brand new and it was the car to have. If you were a young person, you wanted a Beetle. Guy and girl, like it was the massive marketing campaign, the cools. And so there was how can we really push people to do whatever to get this car? Let's have five people live in this car. And the last one standing, who hasn't like said, all right, I'm done, I'm out, the last person in there will get the car.
And it was at Universal, right?
So we ended up with four people in the car, plus Big Tad, at 350 pounds. Now, Tad...
Wouldn't they turn on the heater or something?
So legally, we had to monitor the situation the whole time. So this car was up at Universal Amphitheater. When you walk into like that, you know, that big globe that's at Universal City Walk, it was parked right there. And we had, you know, the stanchions all the way around, and we had a full-time crew 24 hours a day. We had Amy Stevens, our promotions director then, and her staff around the clock watching. At the same time, not just protecting, annoying them. We would be playing all kinds of crazy music.
To make them sleep deprived.
Sam, the Armenian comedian, we'd be telling jokes right outside their car door. We would turn the heater on. We'd turn the air conditioning on. We were really trying to get them to bone out of there and give up.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. So we a lot of stories regarding that one. We will get to that on a future B-Team.
Love that.
From Sean, hi, B-Team. Love the podcast so far. Whatever happened to Miss Double December? One year, it just seemed like it didn't happen anymore. What happened? Why? Dave?
Well, I mean, we've been doing it, I think, like you started it, and it was about 13 years, 14 years now.
Yes.
And the guys just thought that, you know what, in today's day and age, just oogling women wasn't the right thing.
Felt sexist.
It just felt sexist. And
it kind of ran its course.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Nobody
was really like, oh, you know, we can't wait. You know, I mean, you know how it is when you're doing something new and fresh and you're excited about it. And then obviously with everything, there's that kind of like, you know, moment where it's reached its peak and you kind of coast through it and you just kind of do it because people want you to. And it was already on the other side already. People weren't excited, and you know, I mean, it was a bit creepy.
There were some horny dudes that were excited.
Yeah. And then we noticed that too in the crowd.
Creep factor, you know.
Yeah.
I think what starts organically ends organically, and this started, by the way, at Christmas CD signings.
It did.
Yeah. So we were doing CD signings when we had the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD, and we were looking for something because it was just us sitting at a table signing autographs.
Yeah.
And what can we add to this mix? What could we do on stage to make it more exciting? I think it was, I want to say it was Ralph that came up with the idea.
And Chicks, he was the, man.
And he was the host from day one.
But it started out just as like, you just choose
it
someone
wasn't,
from.
It wasn't
it was
like
just
a
like
pageant.
An email or
it
something,
just
right?
Like a listener.
Yeah,
right?
It was just a listener. Like, all right, you're it. And then
it went into
like online entry, and then we'll pick a winner. And then it went to a full-on pageant. And then now it's gone.
And yeah, I was never
get it out.
So I was never really a fan of the shows, but this is back in the day when they didn't allow me to play, right? So I was always back here. I'll never forget the first one they did at Slide Bar, because they made for me it wasn't a mistake, but they say it was a mistake. I wasn't there. I just heard the energy from the room, and they did it inside. And yeah. I guess it was
I chose the Slide Bar.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, today I still stand by this. No, it was way too small. But I did not want us going to a venue that was too big and sounded empty. I wanted energy nonstop, and that's what we got. Now, it sucked because it was too small.
Logistically, it was a nightmare, I hear.
It was literally, you've been to the Slide Bar. You know the size of that place.
Well, it was in that front room of the Slide Bar, which is completely
No, Dave. It was under the outside.
No?
It was where they have the... right next to the main bar, under the...
it's just the canopy area.
Under the canopy area, right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I remember, didn't it also rain?
It did.
It poured?
Rained, and everyone had squeezed in to the stage.
Now that,
and we had a catwalk stretched down the center, so it was really
and
tight.
The girls were wasted.
They were all sauced up.
Oh,
the listeners, I could hear, off the air, the listeners were buying the girls shots, and the girls were taking the shots.
Oh, yeah.
They were all tore up. But, man, that one, I mean... And then money was there clowning on the chicks. I mean, it was hilarious. And like, yeah, you felt the energy. You heard the energy in that broadcast. And then
when the guys look back on it and they hated it, they hated it because it was tough to do their job. They hated it because
it was too
freaking small.
And
they
it was
literally
really hot in there.
It was. But as far as the listener and the vibe, and I'm sure what came across in the air, there was a lot of energy and exciting. And by the way, if it sucked that bad, they wouldn't have come back and done it again.
It sounded like a party.
Right.
And it was just like,
he doesn't have any time for shenanigans.
Yeah,
right.
He likes to be in control, and he did not have control that.
And I also think it's one of these things where Kevin Bean really did believe in the broadcast, but Mr. Weatherby hated any time Kevin Bean would do anything live. He would hate on it. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like a mixture of everything. But I just remember hating myself for not being down there because, like, Psycho Mike got to be down there.
Yeah.
It was like, it just sounded like the best time ever.
It was a party.
Yeah.
There's no question.
I'm actually personally glad it's over, but we met a bunch of amazing girls.
And it was a fun time. It was a fun time.
Yeah, and I think I'm still friends with a lot of girls, winners and non-winners.
Even the one that got pregnant.
Yeah, she's so cool, Veronica. What's up, Veronica?
So
shout out to Veronica.
Yeah, if you're missing double December, don't get pregnant. Come on.
Don't get pregnant.
Yeah, don't get pregnant.
Note to self.
Right,
Dave, the girl that you dated.
Yeah,
she wasn't a Miss Double D. She was a runner-up, or she
no,
was
she,
no, she was a Miss Double D.
Yeah, she was a Miss Double D, but she didn't have to go through the pageant stuff. So they just picked her online. They just said, "All right, she's the winner. She got the most
votes." Damn, she was hot.
Really?
By the way,
she got the most votes. Yeah, it was just she was a car model, and it was just like, oh yeah, you know, boom, she's the winner.
Funny.
Yeah, and I didn't even know back then. I had nothing to do with the pageant back then, so.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's so funny, man.
So, yeah, it's it came and went like a lot of things. They just kind of run their course. I don't, you know, there was no like, oh, it's time to kill it. I just like, yeah, we feel like we've kind of been there, done that.
Yeah, it was like we've been there, done that, and we'll come up with something.
Yeah, one more from Lily here.
Double Dicember. Come
no
on,
way.
Guys.
Not a chance.
Double Dicember.
No.
Ah, Kevin and Bean, write that down. Kevin Bean, you guys listening? No?
I'm tuning out. Shut up.
Double Dicember.
One story I kind of know, but don't really, is how Ralph made into the mix. And I know that there's kind of a Jimmy, Ralph, Adam connection. Wasn't it that Jimmy needed to train for a boxing match and used Adam, but then... Wait, wasn't he Mr. Burcham? What was the rest of the story? I'm confused. All that all went down, asks Lily. So here's the thing, Lily. Jimmy was the sports guy for Kevin and Bean and also a writer behind the scenes. And he was had a fake Brooklyn accent. He had relatives from Brooklyn. And he
was it fake?
It was absolutely fake.
Oh, I thought he kind of just like, you know, kind of like, you know, yeah,
he hyped it up.
Let it go
but
afterwards.
He had a lot of family, a lot of family. He had spent time in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's a Vegas guy, but his family's from New York. And so he knew that accent and he ramped it up and he was going to be that sports guy with that Brooklyn accent. And that was his character on the show.
And Jimmy, by the way, had been working in radio in a bunch of different radio stations.
Palm Springs, up north, Northern California,
et cetera. Yeah, he had been doing radio for a while.
So we got him and Michael, the maintenance man, was a real maintenance man in our building in Burbank. And in the very early 90s, before me, Kevin and Bean... He just walked in. He was cleaning up one night, and one of the guys found him, and he had a funny, great, outgoing attitude, and they immediately adopted him, and he was on the air all the time doing man-on-the-street stuff, and he was also still the maintenance man for the building.
That's hilarious.
And he did other buildings as well. And I want to play for you the Bleed and Reseda, but I'm not going to just play the fight. I want to go back to the very beginning, guys, and play you this audio, because I don't think it's been heard anywhere in... over 20 years.
The Bleeder in Reseda.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that you?
That is not. That's Mark Davis. Oh. And that was one of the, that predates.
Where's John Frost?
Yeah, no John Frost in here. That was, Mark Davis. You guys know him as Richard Cheese, the lounge singer. He did some of the funny voices for us back in the day here. This is the on-air conversation and how the beef started between Jimmy and Michael.
Talk to you later. Nice to talk to you.
And a celebrity sighting from Johnny?
Yep.
Who is it?
Well, let me tell you the story.
All right. Where are you?
Snow Summit.
Snow Summit. All right.
I was snowboarding last weekend, and I was on the shuttle coming back to my car. I'm talking to my friend. I hear this guy making funny noises with his throat. I turn around, and there's this guy. He's hitting his chest, and I don't know what's going on. And sure enough, I recognize him from the Ocean Spray commercial. I was standing right next to Bobby McFerrin.
Ah! Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Don't Worry, Be Happy himself, Bobby Stinkin' McFerrin. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Bye.
Gotta be the first ever Bobby McFerrin sighting. Ever. Jimmy, I'm not sure we have time. Lisa May, how much time do you have here?
About 30 seconds.
Can we put you on hold?
Hey, ain't the Bobby McFerrin black?
Yeah?
Yeah? What the hell was he doing on a ski slope?
I don't. Jeez,
Jimmy.
I can't answer that, Jimmy. Hold the phone. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, so wait. Why is Jimmy on the phone?
Yeah, why is
Jimmy
on the phone?
Jimmy used to call in all the time. I don't know why. I think the sportscast, I don't know if they were originally on the phone or why he called in, but that was a gag. Like, he would call in all the time and just kind of interrupt.
Okay.
Rather than walking into the studio.
That's funny.
Michael is in the other room and hears this and hears that something about black people and the fact that they don't ski.
Right.
So Jimmy calls in and says something derogatory against, you know, that black people can't ski. And Michael immediately comes to, he's incensed. Like, what do you mean black people can't ski? So in the hallway now, Michael and Jim are kind of going like, you know, black people, Jimmy's like, I'm defending his position. I don't see black people on the ski slopes. And Michael's like, what are you talking about, man? Black people ski, we're like, we got blah, blah, blah. He's going crazy. And that kind of bled into this next break, which I want you to play here.
Jim, when you ready, boy. Now check it out. When you ready,
Me and you can go head to toe.
Now, I don't think the fight. Right. I don't think fighting is
the
answer here.
I'll whoop your ass like it ain't never been whooped, man.
Are you going head to toe to toe?
Toe to toe.
Oh, toe to toe.
Hey, hey, Michael. But white people can't box. You know that.
Hey, yo.
White people can't box. That's not fair.
He is the Jay Cooney of all sports, man. Let me show him what's up.
Well, I don't know that we need to. I don't know that we need to get into fist cups.
You ready, Jim?
Is you man enough?
Huh?
I don't fight for the white people, and you don't fight for the black people.
No, I'm fighting you
because me and you.
Hey, yo, now, can y'all arrange this, man?
Yeah, we'll arrange a boxing match. Sure, why not?
Let's arrange this.
Hey,
down,
there's no
man.
Better way to handle problems at work than have the two guys duke it out.
Wait, so this is real. This isn't like, hey, this will be a funny stunt.
That's what I thought. It was like a funny
radio I thought this was just like a...
Guys, I'm telling you that this is how it went down. What you heard right there is how this happened. This was not predetermined in the office or at Talleyrand or us having lunch one day going, what would be funny if they boxed?
Oh my God.
This is how it went down. Like, they were... Michael was so pissed, he wanted to punch Jimmy, get it out of his system for insulting black people or the fact that black people couldn't be on a ski slope.
Them, yeah.
Just stereotyping them. And that's how it came about. They're like, oh my God, let's get these guys in a ring. Can we do it? Frank Murphy was the producer at that time and he created a checklist. If we want to have a fight, we would need this, 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 and this, and starts going down. It says, all right, well, we would need a ring. And we found a boxing ring in Reseda, California. And we would need coaches, and we would need all these things, and started just checking them off the list to see if we could actually do it. And at some point, Michael goes on the air and starts talking about the fact that he's got a real boxing coach that's already training him. Like, it's as soon as we announce that it's happening, Michael's full throttle. He wants to kick the crap out of Jimmy.
So, and how old are these guys at this point? Are they in like mid 20s?
27-ish.
27-ish, okay.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And Jimmy is on the air. It's like, I don't know. You know, I'm gonna kick his ass, but I need to be trained. He's talking smack, and there's a big knock at the back door. And I walked out to the back and opened the thing, and there's a guy standing in gym shorts and a tight shirt, and it's freaking Adam Carolla. He says, "I'm here."
In a couple of days or the same day?
This is I don't know. We're into the process. Maybe a couple of days after we're talking about the fight, and the bit is developing on the air in real time. It's organic. It's just we're literally just hatching it on the air. Talking to people.
Like soliciting for, hey, if you guys know a place where we can
have it. We need judges.
Trainers.
We need paramedics. We need all these things, right? We need trainers, whatever. Michael's already on the air talking about the fact that he has a trainer. This guy is like tuning him up, and Jimmy doesn't have a trainer. Right. And this guy shows up at the back door, and it's Adam, who was an amateur boxing instructor.
It was love at first sight.
And so he's like, I'm here to train Jimmy. And apparently the backstory is that he had been calling Frank Murphy and saying, I want to train Jimmy, and Frank was avoiding him. And I guess Adam still to this day has never gotten over the fact that Frank wouldn't take his call. But I guess Frank, who's the producer, kind of felt like he was he wanted a real boxing instructor, and Adam sounded just like some Yahoo or whatever. And Adam was just not going to put up with it. He was just going to show up and at the back door, and he did. And I said, Jim, there's someone in the back for you. And he went out, and it was love at first sight. And they went to train, and you guys know the history. I mean, Jimmy and Adam are absolute best friends to this day.
That's crazy.
And that's how it went down because of this. So this next piece is Michael had already had a physical, and it was time for Jimmy to go make sure that he was in good enough shape to actually fight.
We're standing here with Dr. Joseph Sachs from Northridge Emergency Medical Hospital. How are you today, doctor?
Just fine.
Now, Jimmy, one of our fine KROQ listeners who is going to put his life on the line in the ring this Friday with Michael the Maintenance Man is several feet away from us changing into the hospital gown. Now, you designed this gown. It's a special Dr. Sachs design, right? So the entire butt is hanging out?
I don't think so. We'll have him keep his underwear.
Sorry, would you?
Ready!
Oh!
What?
This actually reminds me of the time that I went to go get a colonic with Kevin. Maybe we have to visit that at a later.
Yeah,
later
Jimmy.
Point.
Jimmy would love to. He would expose himself at very inopportune times and scare the crap out of Kevin. Kevin was not comfortable around other men's genitalia.
No, not at all.
And Jimmy did some funny things. So Jimmy put his wiener on Frank Murphy's chin one time when he was sleeping and some other stuff. So Jim loved to love the shock and awe of having the wiener out.
That's the best.
He was naked. Okay. So what do you mean by ready, Jim?
You're supposed to get naked.
No. You're supposed to put...
You're supposed to put on the robe.
That was more than we ought to be required to see of our listeners.
Just put the gown on, open in the back.
I like to be nude.
I wasn't aware Jimmy was a nudist.
Jimmy, why don't you have a seat right at the side of the bed here from the other side?
Oh, man.
Check your blood pressure.
Come on, tie your damn robe.
All right. 120 over 65. Good blood pressure. Swing your legs up and lie down.
This is the part where you manipulate my genitalia.
Not quite.
Well, you paid for the full package?
Checking your stomach.
It's there.
Okay.
That could be the hairiest stomach I have ever seen.
You want all some right. of that?
Sounds good. Just let your head relax back. Bend your knees.
The contractions are only a minute apart.
Doctor, why are you making him put his feet in the stirrups?
Just want to be sure, you know those Olympic rules? Sometimes the women masquerade as men.
What the hell are you trying to say?
When do we get to put on the rubber gloves, Doc?
Oh, that's coming up shortly.
All right.
So maybe we'll have you guys step out for a minute.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Is this the whole thing with the... All right, Jimmy, we're going to leave this microphone with you. We're going to be behind the curtain if you need anything. Just yell.
Okay, why don't you have to stand up?
Just remember, you ain't picking grapes here.
All right.
Was I supposed to shave this thing?
No.
All right, oh!
Turn your head to the side.
Take it easy on that.
Turn your head to the side and cough. Good.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but generally I like guys to be a little more gentle than that.
And once more. Great. Okay. I'm going to pull that up.
I've never felt so violated.
All right. Let's just check his heart on the EKG monitor here.
As you prepare to stick these on his chest, the man's got quite a bit of hair. Is that a problem for you?
No, this is some...
Problem for me, however.
This has a conducting gel in it.
So you're getting them all lubed up then?
That's right. 85 to 90, which is a little higher than Michael the Maintenance Man's. It might indicate that that Michael's in a little bit better cardiovascular health than Jimmy. Maybe
snap.
He runs a little more. Do you do aerobic exercise at all?
Well, there's something I do in the bathroom. That's about it.
And how many times a week is that?
90 or 100. Tops.
Now, you guys may not have noticed that Jimmy's right arm is hugely developed. His left arm's just a squiggly little thing.
A little weak, yeah.
So you would say that Jimmy, just as Michael the Maintenance Man was, is in good physical condition, and you probably look forward to a fair fight.
That would be correct.
Should we take these things off?
It's time for him to get dressed, but we do have the EKG electrodes still on his chest wall.
Can we just yank them off?
You can take them off just like you'd take a Band-Aid off.
All right, good.
Be careful with that. Ow!
Look at all the hair of this thing.
Ah! I lost the nipple.
So that was Jimmy's physical
day. Wait, hold on. So Bean said we shouldn't see our listeners like this. Was Jimmy just a listener at the time?
Thank you for bringing that up, Dave. I forgot to explain that part. Jimmy originally called in as a listener, complaining, bitching, and moaning that no one did the sports right. And so he was on the phone for maybe the first 100 sportscasts, calling in with, "Hey, the sports." Like, so maybe that explains why he called in on that beginning piece there.
That's funny.
But we did set him up as being a listener, and we worked him in very slowly over time.
But yeah, because from what I remember, when Jimmy started, Kevin Bean had no idea that he got hired.
That was different. So like. Oh. So he was hired, and that was kind of a different deal. I don't want to confuse people, okay. But for the sake of on-air listeners were concerned, Jimmy was officially hired here at the station, and we didn't know how to bring him on the air. We didn't want to just put
Jimmy
him on the air
with
one day.
This character or whatever. Jimmy the listener who wants to do sports.
Jimmy the listener,
got
exactly.
Got
and
it.
He called in to bitch and moan how crappy our sports reporting was or the fact that we didn't have any. And that turned into, why don't you come in instead of just phoning it in all the time? And then he was always in the building, but he was just calling from another room.
Got it. Okay.
All right. So this is the Bleeda and Reseda. And I want to spoil who the judges were, but I think.
You got celebrity judges?
I think.
Celebrity judges?
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think that when you hear the audio, you will be pleasantly surprised.
He's sitting at the table with our celebrity judges, John Wayne Bobbitt, Tom Murray from KCAL Channel 9, and Saturday Night Live's Adam Sandler. We are here in the broadcast.
Adam Sandler?
Stop it. Yeah, stop
Adam
it.
Adam Sandler?
Wow. Yes. John Wayne Bobbitt, do you guys remember that guy from the 80s?
Yeah.
Or was it 80s or early 90s?
It was 90s.
90s?
He got his wiener chopped off.
Yes, he did by
Lorraine.
Yeah.
So we had him. This is Pat O'Brien doing the play-by-play. And Pat O'Brien, by that time, was just coming off the Olympics or something massive. I mean, Pat O'Brien was the biggest sports reporter.
Huge.
On the planet.
And then he went on to do Entertainment Tonight.
And all that stuff, right.
Hollywood or whatever.
So the Olympics.
And then a lot of cocaine and then hookers. Hey, look at me.
Yeah, you're so hot. That guy, yeah.
You know, I DJed his kid's like 12th birthday party.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was. I'll save that story for another day. It was super creepy.
I like Pat. Yeah. Despite what happened, I think he's a good guy. I really do. Anyway, so let's go.
Sandler, we are here in the broadcast booth ringside. Bud Girls walking around right now with the big number one, indicating the fight is about to begin. I'm going to turn over this microphone to CBS Sports' Pat O'Brien.
Thank you very much, and hi again, everybody. Welcome to the Bleda in Reseda here in Reseda, California, as the fighters get ready to come into the ring and finally fight after a two-week buildup in this thing. And I sense that the crowd here is completely into this affair. And as I talked to the fighters earlier, it seemed that Michael was a little more focused than Jimmy.
I just saw Jimmy was out of shirt on. Man, that is a tough thing to look at.
And as we call this thing live, Jimmy with his hands up now, talking to the crowd, working the crowd here. But I feel that the crowd definitely is on Michael's side.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the opening bell, Scott Mason, let's rumble the Bleda in Reseda.
Michael, the maintenance man, weighing in at one. Two left jabs right to Jimmy's head. Two, three, four. A flurry from Michael, the maintenance man. Another left jab to Jimmy's head. Two left jabs. Jimmy gets a right jab. A left jab. A left jab. Michael, the maintenance man, going right for the head and right for the immediate knockout here.
Let me pause this for a second. Omar, Michael, the maintenance man.
He sounds like he's going off on Jimmy.
Michael, the maintenance man, was fighting for Black America.
So
Michael,
he was taking
the maintenance
super
man,
seriously.
Was. So. Leading up to it, talking all the shenanigans on the air for the 2 weeks, as Pat just talked about.
Well, a whole 2 weeks of training, huh?
Well, yeah, but Michael was already in good shape. So Michael was in a fitness at that time, and it was in great shape. But it was all fun and games until they got in the ring, and Michael did have the eye of the tiger. Michael was going to beat the shit out of Jimmy.
Did you just see red?
Yes.
Really?
And he had a real boxing instructor. And not to say that Adam wasn't good as Jimmy's instructor.
Yeah, but what are you
going to
do in 2 weeks?
Jimmy was just didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to go down. He wanted just to last the three rounds. We were going to do three rounds. And, man, I just remember Michael, like, this was legit. This was not a radio bit for him. This was for Black Pride.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Nuts.
Unbelievable. I've never seen Michael come out with so much fire in all my life. He's thrown 1,000 punches and we just started.
I still can't get over how fat Jimmy is.
Jimmy with a hard right to Michael's head. Wobbled him a little bit.
These are some solid hits we're looking at. They are not just rabbit punching.
A left by Michael, the maintenance man, a left from Jimmy, a left and a right, and a left to Jimmy's head. Jimmy wobbled on that one. Michael, the maintenance man, backed up against the ropes. He's got him. Now they're back in the middle of the ring. Jimmy.
At any time, were you guys worried about Jimmy?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this at the
end. Okay.
Yeah.
Jimmy coming back with a left and a right and a left and a right. They are going at it, folks.
Now, nice hit.
Jimmy with a left
Jimmy.
And Michael on the right. Jimmy to the left. Jimmy has Michael, the maintenance man, on the ropes. Michael grabs onto Jimmy and tries to hold on.
Jimmy looks pissed. He looks pissed. He looks like he's fighting back. Man, it's almost all hits
hey, Omar.
To the head.
Yeah. So, Omar?
Yeah.
I think at some point in this first round, Jimmy's like, oh, crap.
This
like,
is for real.
This is a real
for real
fight.
Now, Jimmy was like, he anticipated that Michael would go at it. But when he got in there and like I said, when he looked into Michael's eyes, I think Jimmy realized, oh, shit. Like, this is really, like, the real deal. I'm going to have to fight.
That's crazy.
Oh, and Jimmy spent every ounce of energy going at it.
Wow.
He looks pissed. He looks like he's fighting back. Man, it's almost all hits to the head. 10 seconds left. 10 seconds left in round one. 9, 8.
Jimmy with a left. He's got Michael against the corner. A left
no
and a right from Michael, the maintenance man. Both boxers focused on the head.
There's the bell. Wow.
Round one is over in a thriller.
I tell you, Pat, we know both guys pretty well, and that was a real surprise, round number one. A real surprise.
Tom Murray from Channel 9, what did you see?
Kevin, I thought Michael came out real strong at that jab, but Jimmy came back pretty strong. I have to give the round, though, to Michael, the maintenance man. Looks Pat O'Brien from the judges' table like Michael the Maintenance Man so far is leading the fight. Seconds away from round two with the Bleeda and Reseda.
Between rounds, Michael the Maintenance Man has been getting counsel from his corner. Jimmy has been sitting down, staring at him, focusing on the fight. And here's round two. You have to notice how Michael has broken into a full sweat. There, he's back against the rings now. A left flurry, a left jab, a right jab from Jimmy the Sausage. And Michael's shoulder is hurting him now. He's favoring his right shoulder.
Jimmy the Sausage.
I disagreed with the judges, by the way, earlier. I thought that Jimmy might have won first round because he wobbled Michael against the rope. Michael now backing up again. Jimmy the Sausage flailing now with his left hook. Michael with a nice jab, a left jab to Jimmy's face. And we should say to kids at home, don't do this in your backyard.
Jimmy is definitely hurting right now. Jimmy is definitely hurting.
Jimmy can't lift his arms. Michael's got him. He's trying to tie himself up. Michael's got him against the ropes. He cannot lift his arms, ladies and gentlemen. Michael comes in with a left, and he comes in with a right. Jimmy back with a left and a right. Jimmy the Sausage is very tired at this point. Michael the Maintenance Man comes in with a left and a right. 3 seconds left in the round. Will he come away? No. Round two is over.
You hear Michael?
Excellent second round.
Did you hear Michael right there?
Was that him? Hit him again?
Yeah, it was like, that was his coach. Hit him again, what again? Like, I'm telling you, these guys were like, this is full throttle.
At any point, did anyone decide to say, like, hey, maybe we should stop this? This is too serious?
No.
Like,
no.
And I'm assuming they were wearing headgear and stuff like
they
that.
They were. They had headgear
if it's an amateur fight. But still, you could get knocked out. You could still get concussions.
Totally.
Like, and no one ever thought, like, this is going too far.
It was too late for that.
An excellent second round. Kevin is at the judges' table. Adam Sandler, how did you see round number two?
Well, I gotta tell you what I did see. I saw one of Jimmy's testicles fell out of his shorts. But I gotta say, I think Michael won that round too.
All right, a controversial decision according to the crowd.
By the way, it sounds like everybody's rooting for Michael, not Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy was kind of the instigator and kind of, yeah, I think people felt Michael's plight, I think.
And I think, you know, hearing some of this audio, it's like Jimmy was egging him on and, like, being the dick about it. So I think that's why everyone was behind Michael. But when you start seeing the fight, you're probably like, oh, man, this is not going well for Jimmy.
Jimmy the Sausage.
A controversial decision, according to the crowd. Both fighters are up. Their trainers are now giving them last-minute advice, and there's the bell.
The third and final round here, the Bleeda and Reseda, Michael the Maintenance Man and Jimmy the Sausage, both weighing in at 194, about a half a pound apart, and Jimmy comes out with a flurry left and right. Jimmy has Michael on the ropes, and Michael bends down, getting advice from his corner to stay in there and jab. Jimmy wearing a sky blue pants, and there's a left jab from Jimmy, and a right jab to Michael the Maintenance Man, wobbles Michael the Maintenance Man just momentarily. Michael blinking at him, and Jimmy very focused on this round. A left and a right by both fighters. Michael against the road, his head down. Jimmy in with the right. Jimmy chasing Michael the Maintenance Man all over the round. I think Jimmy's got this round won. Jimmy the Sausage tries to put Michael the Maintenance Man down. He has a left and a right. He chases him across the ring. Michael just trying to hold on. Both fighters extremely tired now, staring each other down in the middle of the ring.
9, 8, 7.
Remaining seconds of the round. He's got to have a knockout punch. Oh, a left to Michael to make this man's head. It's not going to work, though. Michael to make this man will win this fight. We'll hear from the judges. The Bleeda and Reseda, ladies and gentlemen, is now history.
So
it's amazing.
So Michael won.
They actually fought then. It's like,
that's crazy.
Ooh, man, that's I would never fly now, but
No. Just let that sink in for a second, guys. Like, you know, we always joke, like, so that happened. Like, that happened. Like, that was real. And guys, Omar, Dave, Jimmy laid down, oxygen on his face, was woozy, took like 15 minutes to get back to sorts so we could really put him on the air and kind of like recount.
I don't know if
recap
you guys
what happened and
have
stuff.
Ever boxed, but if you go all out for that amount of time, you're going to be so exhausted, especially if you're not in shape.
They were
both gassed.
Yeah.
They were both totally gassed. But Jimmy especially was like, holy crap. And he gave it his all. And Michael was just in better physical condition.
But I feel bad for Jimmy, though, because, you know, going in the mindset is, yeah, I'm just going to have fun and mess around with this guy, and we're going to throw some soft punches and, you know, no. Then you get hit that one time, and you're like, oh this
wait
is
a minute.
Real.
This is for real.
And then the adrenaline starts going, and the adrenaline.
Yeah, you get mad, and then you're fighting back, and we heard it in the end of the first and the second. He was throwing all out. So, whoo.
That's I'm awesome
tired.
Audio. That's great.
Isn't that crazy?
Love that.
Nobody's heard that. I know, that's wild.
Awesome.
And so,
is it audio only, or is there video of this?
So we're trying to track down this video for the documentary that we're shooting. You know, you guys know, many people may not know that there is a K-Rock documentary in the works. Adam Carolla is the brains and the money behind it. and his director, who's outstanding, Nate Adams, done the last couple documentaries for Adams Production House. They are putting together a linear history of K-Rock from 1967 to today. And it's amazing. And one of the pieces of footage that we're trying to track down is the Bleeding Reseda, because Channel 9 was there. As you heard, Tom, whatever his name was, he was there from Channel 9. So they were there with a full big over-the-shoulder cameras shooting the whole thing. And it was on television that night.
Oh,
it was a big deal. So that footage does exist. I don't have it, but we're going to track it down. And it's going to be on the documentary. And hopefully you guys will see that. Sometime first quarter, second next year. That's our plan.
It's insane. Like in the matter of 2 weeks, they whipped that together. You know what I mean?
This is where
there's so much red tape. Like, you know what I mean? There's like no way they would be able to whip that together. Look, you know, without lawyers' approval. You know what I mean?
People, guys, now like would go like, Lightning used to be. You're such a good producer. No, that I learned that stuff from Frank Murphy. Mm-hmm. Frank Murphy was a producer. So Bean had worked with him in like Maryland or somewhere. But they considered Frank Murphy super producer. He could make anything happen. And he did. He pulled that thing together in 2 weeks.
Crazy.
It was freaking crazy. Sold out 1,000 people in there.
John Bobbitt.
Everything. Yeah, it was amazing.
I mean, it's crazy.
We had relationships with those people. Yeah,
I mean,
already.
You have the legit people. You have the funny people.
Pat
and then
Ryan,
you have
how
a celebrity.
Smooth did he sound? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Man, what was Kevin and Bean's reaction to the way they fought? Because I'm assuming they thought they were just going to...
It was going to be a radio ha.
Like joke around.
They were blown away. They were like, Jim's going to get his ass kicked. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it was an awakening.
At this
where
point,
they're like, oh, no, like, this is... I think they were, on one hand, they were excited because they were watching a real fight go down. On the other hand, they're like, this could go bad. Wow. I guess. I mean, we should talk to Kevin. I mean, I don't want to speak for them. It's not fair. But I think that everybody was surprised that it was – as soon as Michael came out and was real, the real deal, Michael wasn't – it stopped being a joke for Mike, and he was just out there, like I said, for pride. That's when we knew it was going to be – this is real. And I don't know. It was
poor
nuts.
Jimmy the Sausage.
I think that's probably enough for this podcast.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
First time I've ever heard it.
I have a couple nuggets coming up for you guys in future podcasts that are almost as special as this. They're going to blow you away. So, yeah, it's the B team. That's who we are.
Man, it was awesome.
Omar at krock.com, Lightning at krock.com, King of Mexico at krock.com.
Yeah, you can hit me up on Twitter, too, at @krockcom, KOM.
Lightning. Let us know if you have any questions about... K-Rock, yesteryear, or current stuff. You're like, why do the guys do that thing? We'll try to answer it for you.
Yep.
Cool. B-Team! B-Team!
The B-Team. Yeah! The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team, baby!
R.I.P. Jimmy the Sausage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.